Bernice, Susan, and Kevin wasted no time putting miles between themselves and Baker. And as they rode and talked, it became clear that all three had received help from mysterious, unknown allies. Susan had not only been freed to escape through Kasif's bedroom window, she'd also been able to get away on foot when someone, she didn't know who, drove off in one of the vans, drawing away the guards. Kevin had been drugged and could have driven off the Jed River Bridge himself, except that someone drove away in his truck after he'd passed out in a roadside restroom. Bernice never would have made it to Baker if a girl on a motorcycle hadn't given her a ride and then mysteriously vanished. One answer occurred to them. It could have been angels. Susan took them to the little town of Orting where she'd rented a motel room. Once there, she revealed the contents of her big suitcase, particularly a small book, The Diary of Bernice's Sister, Patricia Kruger. Julian Langstrat stole it from Pat's room right after her death and sent it to Kasif. I recognized it right away. When I read it, I realized what Kasif was really after. Susan, do you know how my sister died? She was done away with by the forces behind the Universal Consciousness Society. Was it Thomas? It was Thomas, but he wasn't human.
What do you mean?
Your sister was trying to check out what Kasif and Langstrat were doing. She took part in parapsychology experiments until she had a psychic experience and, as she described it, contacted a highly evolved, disembodied human from another dimension.
I don't understand this.
Well, we've talked about God. We've toyed with the idea of angels. Now try evil angels, evil spirit entities, taking whatever form necessary to deceive and control a person. Kevin piped in.
Yeah, I remember how Pat talked about Thomas, like he was a god.
Pat had given her will over to Thomas. He terrified her, then convinced her that death would be the best way to escape the evil of this lower world and join him in a higher state of existence. Susan flipped the pages of the diary and found the last entry. There. The last thing in Pat's diary is a love letter to Thomas. She plans to join him soon, and she even describes how she'll do it. Bernice read her sister's final words, and emotions that had waited for this very moment began to rush through her like a river through an opened floodgate until the pages blurred behind a cascade of tears. Hank slept peacefully in the cell, but Marshall could not sleep at all. He sat up in the dark, his back against the cold, hard bars of the cell.
This Hank Bush was right. Just look at yourself, Hogan. Don't worry about God dropping the ball. You dropped it a long time ago. You thought you had everything under control. And now where's your family? And where are you? Maybe you've been tricked by these demons Hank's been talking about. And then maybe you've even fooled yourself. Come on, Marshall. You know you shortchanged your family. Kate, he whispered, his eyes glistening with tears. Kate, what have I done?
He reached across the cell and nudged Hank's shoulder.
Yeah? What's up?
Hank, I need God. Yeah, I need Jesus.
How many times in his life had Hank said the words,
"Let's pray"?
Susan spoke softly, even as Bernice wept.
I knew I had to get away. That's why I went to the carnival, hoping I'd find some old friends I could confide in.
Kevin smiled.
Yeah, that's where I came in.
Exactly.
But then Kasif, Young, Brummel, and Langstrat showed up and dragged me off behind the dart-throwing booth so we wouldn't be seen together. Which we were. Bernice offered.
So they had me arrested?
Mm-hmm.
They had to get your film.
Susan went to her suitcase. But now for the big news. Kasif is making his move tomorrow. There's a special meeting scheduled with the Whitmore College Regents at 2 in the afternoon. Omni Corporation, as a front for the Universal Consciousness Society, is going to buy the college, and Kasif is closing the deal. Bernice pounded the bed in frustration.
Susan,
We have records of Eugene Baylor's financial maneuverings, evidence that might show how the college was undermined, but we haven't been able to make sense of it all. Susan pulled a little canister out of the suitcase. That's because you only have half the picture. What you need is the other side of those transactions, Kasif's own records. I didn't have room for all that material, but I did photograph it, and if we could get this film developed... We have a darkroom at the Clarion. Then let's go. The remnant continued to pray, and everywhere, from every direction, new spirit visitors continued to steal into the town in all manner of disguises until the nooks, crannies, unused rooms, and countless other hiding places all over the town became alive with still, silent figures, their burly hands upon their swords, their golden eyes piercing and alert, their ears tuned to hear the blast of one particular trumpet. In the remote valley, a rapidly growing cloud of demon spirits churned for a radius of 2 miles all around the ranch, towering as high as the mountaintops, their density such that the cloud totally obscured anything within it. In the darkened center of the cloud, in the big stone house, the strong man gloated over the news he had just received from Ashton.
Prince Rafar has satisfied my wishes. He has fulfilled his mission. Now, in my hands, Ashton will grow like a tree and fill the countryside. Generals! Prepare the ranks. We leave immediately.
Then he floated like a monstrous overweight vulture into the basement room where Alexander Kasif sat cross-legged on a cushion, chanting the strong man's name over and over again. In a matter of seconds, the strong man sank deep into Kasif's body, and the possession was complete. Kasif awoke from his meditation.
The time has come,